My worst, I was, worst icebreaker ever offered to my community group was, what's the highest you've ever been? And I meant,
and the Boy Scout over
I
here.
I meant, what's the highest point on the earth, like hiking or like climbing?
Did someone say right now?
No, someone said to me, do we have to answer that?
Oh, good thing we're talking about God's will, huh? Our goal on this podcast is to know Jesus better and by the power of his spirit, do better so that together we can be a little better. Welcome back to the Little Better podcast. I'm here. My name's Callum, joined with the one and only Noah Bixby.
Hey, welcome.
We're already having some fun, all right. And the Brad, I feel like I'm taking your seat.
You are.
Brad this Files.
I did not realize how tough it was to be over here. I feel like I'm on a witness
tough.
Stand.
I kind of would like rather be in your seat right now.
Would you really?
I'm I more have to ask the question.
I'm more comfortable over there.
I mean, I like asking
answering
questions.
Answering questions, just like,
Yeah. Yeah, I'll try and like see how many times I can make you speechless.
I think Cal's going to set me up. He's going to grill me with some tough stuff.
I don't know. I'm too slow. Noah's really sharp. I think he'd probably be able to come up with some things. But anyway, I will be completely honest. I did not get to listen to the message. So this is probably a good thing because I could probably advocate for you, our listener, a little bit better and ask some questions. Mm. But I would love to give our listeners the 60-second overview of your message.
Oh, man, that's really good. Well, it was a long illustration at the beginning and at the end. But basically, the question is, this is number five, the last question, why is finding God's will so hard? And we just talked about, you know, why doesn't God make it plain? And I felt like I had to back up and say, well, what do we even mean by the will of God? And we talked mm-hmm. about three different definitions for the will of God, that God has a sovereign will, and that's everything he decrees, it will come to pass, it's hidden from us. So it's not a whole lot of help for making daily decisions because we don't have access to it, but God has a moral will. That's extremely helpful to us because that is revealed to us. That does give us guidance for what pleases him and what doesn't. But then we start to crave a little bit more. Hey, a little more. Mm-hmm. A little better. A little better. A little better. Yeah. We crave something a little better than the moral will of God, something that's more specific and tuned to us. We want to know, well, I know it's not sinful to choose among these different choices, so God, tell me what the right one is. And we start to obsess about and wonder about, does God have an individual will for us? And I guess it's kind of a yes and no. We said, but what was no was, God isn't trying to hide some secret plan for us where we have to make a series of exactly right decisions, that there's always these options in front of us and we have to obsess about the right decision. So we went from that into some practical help. I think I had, it's funny because I keep getting rearranged in my head, but we talked about knowing your father, listening to your father, asking your father. It's all about intimacy with God, knowing who God is, because the better we know God, the better we'll know what choices please him. But it was also about making it a team sport, and you know, God gave us other people with godly counsel, with godly input, and not to obsess about making that right choice, like finding that dream job or that soulmate that's going to solve everything. Chances are you're going to make a good choice, and there's going to be a lot of work afterwards, you know, and following through on that. And finally was, there was another one in there, don't be afraid to make mistakes. You know, and I think we're terrified sometimes, paralyzed. We don't want to take action because we're afraid we'll make a mistake, but you mm-hmm. cannot derail God's sovereign plan. Your mistakes are factored in. They're mm-hmm. part of it, and they're part of our education. So that was the practical help.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then we move from that just to say, as important as it is to act right, we want to become mm-hmm. right. We want to be who God wants us to be, and we talked about the fruit of the Spirit. And I had a little fun with fruit mm-hmm. up there, but just wrapping it up with Augustine's quote that love God and do whatever you please. You know, it's like if we truly are
that's
loving God, what we act on, it will please God. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're going to act in harmony with that. And God wants us to have freedom in that. I think I went way over 60, but
yeah, you did.
There we go.
But that's okay. I mean, I'm just trying to catch up on the message. So, I mean, I guess you don't really need to go and see it. But if you do actually want to go and watch the message, you can on YouTube or your podcast, wherever you find the message. Mm-hmm. there's obviously a lot in this topic.
Mm-hmm.
And there's only so much you can wrap up in 25 minutes.
Right, absolutely.
What did you not say that you kind of, even in retrospect now, that you wish you could say?
You know, I probably, there was probably a lot of philosophical stuff that I cut. Like, we just came out of week four with Jason talking about God choosing some and not others. So that had that very interesting intersection between God's sovereign will, you know, and his moral will. And I didn't talk about the fact that, well, really from a sovereign perspective, that's what Jason talked about last week, some are chosen, some are not. But from a moral perspective, you have 2 Peter 2:9, I believe is the reference, where God says, you know, Peter says of God, he's not willing that any should perish, but wants all, you know, to come to salvation. So from a moral point of view, God truly offers salvation to everyone. The invitation is out there. The desire is out there. But in his sovereign will, he knows, you know, some will reject it. Trying to think of the other things. I mean, I only talked about three fruits. Originally, I talked about, you was going to talk about nine. So that made it, that saved us some time. But
fruits being fruit of the spirit, not just like we're talking about mangoes on a Sunday morning.
There was a mango up there, but yes, fruits of the spirit. Okay. And that's an interesting topic too, just fruit versus fruits. I mean, there really is just one fruit of the spirit, but I think it has nine flavors at least, right? And that's
interesting.
What we talked about it. So
okay.
Yeah, it's not nine separate things the Holy Spirit gets us, but you know, these are just all the facets of it. But
I'll pose this to both of you guys. So I feel like when someone is searching for the will of God, whether it is, it stems from an individual will, like, God, what do you want from me? It normally is in a decision point, mm-hmm. like you said earlier, about right. a job, or do I move, do I do mm-hmm. this? Like, and it comes from a very earnest place, mm-hmm. right? It's like, I want to follow God. I want to be a bit obedient to God. What would you say to that person that's earnestly searching, or mm-hmm. even to like your younger self? Because I think we've all probably gone through those phases.
Oh, absolutely.
What would you encourage them? How would you encourage them? What would you advise them?
Yeah, I think you're dead on the head, you know, on that question here, because coming from young adults ministry, the number one question that I always got was, what's God's will for my life? Do I date this person? Do I break up with this person? You know, it's not great, but it's not terrible. Do I just keep dating them until, you know, like what do I do? You know, and what is God's will for me? And it's kind of an alignment of values, you know, where their values aren't aligned with their decisions yet. And so they're looking to the Bible to try to figure those out. And as you get older, you might make more patterns of like, I know how to respond to these situations. But even me, if you're to say, okay, you got to pick, you know, a career, a place to live, and, you know, a major in the next 3 months. That's a huge amount of decisions to make. Right. So you get decision fatigue and you just end up mm-hmm. questioning God, like, what do I do? Where do I go with this stuff? And I think some things I would remind myself of is that I'm not going to make all right decisions, right? I'm not going to make every decision perfectly or right the first time. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. And that, like, you know, there's forgiveness and there's grace. And that's why the gospel is so beautiful, is that Christ redeems the decisions that we make and we fail. And
that's such an important point mm-hmm. that I almost want to just like stop on. Like, God can redeem those things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think we kind of lose sight of that, the redemption story. Mm-hmm. Like, man, or Adam and Eve fell from the Garden of Eden, but God was still available and present. And the whole arc of scripture is this redemption story mm-hmm. of our mistakes.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
That's such a, like, I think we just need to hold on to that a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Sorry yeah. to cut you off. But
totally. And I think there's, I mean, I love that idea that, you know, making a mistake isn't the end. It's just another way to glorify God, mm-hmm. you know? And I think we often question, like, what's God's will for my life? But God might be happy with you making multiple decisions. You know, if you want to drive home with the windows down today and enjoy the air in your face, do it. God is pleased with that. You know, if you want to roll the windows up and play the music as loud as you want, do that. Like, God is pleased with you in that. There's no, like, sometimes a loving father is going to give you options to live the life you want to. You know, if he just dictated every decision you ever made, that'd be, you know, that'd be horrible, you know?
Right, it'd be a tyranny, and it wouldn't be, you know, again, when I mentioned the message, it's not the goal of parenting. The goal of the parenting is wisdom. Mm. The goal of the parenting is, like, you know what star we're steering by. You know, it's to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. So if these things, if this is what gets you there, fine, you know. And but again, yeah, just I know that as a younger person, I would obsess about there's a right answer and there's a wrong answer. And that was part of Gary Friesen's book, was like, no, there's many good answers. And a lot of times we'll like blame, right? We'll say, oh, well, I blew it. I missed God's will. I made the wrong choice. And then we check out, right? I mean, it's just like, no, God wants you, you know, to hang in there, to have the follow through. I mean, there's pros or cons to multiple ways. I think there's a whole spectrum between does God, you can be obsessively saying God leads every single decision, right? I'm going to sit at every intersection and just wait for Jesus to urge me to lean the wheel left or right, you know, just every decision. That's one extreme. But the other extreme, which really Gary Friesen is very close to, is God doesn't guide at all ever. It's just like when he finished the Bible, he was done. He has a very extreme kind of position on that. And it's just like it's all about making wise choices according to Scripture. Between that, I think, is where most of us live, is like we're not obsessing over every single individual decision. But when it comes to those big decisions, you know, we do want God's help, and God may lead, and we do want to ask, you know, and we have known those situations where we've seen God bump us, urge us in one direction or another. Now, He's never done it with an audible voice with me. Some people may have heard that. It's never been God's way, you know, with me, but there are times when I felt a very strong sense that this is where God was pointing me.
I heard this quote. It was on an Instagram reel. Most of my great sources come from Instagram reels. I'm kidding. But this is cool. It's from Father Columba. My name, Callum, comes from Columba, if you didn't know.
I did not know that.
Father Columba Jordan, he said, although people say God is in control, God is the most uncontrolling person I've ever met in my life. I love that. That God, in His like sovereign control over all things, seems to be so uncontrolling of us. Like, as a parent, you were kind of describing that picture. For sure, there are things like, as we are parented by Him, He is guiding and nudging and using things to kind of direct us. But a lot of the times He's just like, he is in control, but He is not controlling.
Yeah, I love that so much. You know, that makes me even think about, that's what I'm impressed of, even as we went through the fruits of the Spirit, just to think how God, how gentle He is, how patient He is, how kind He is, because He doesn't move to smack me upside the head immediately, or just, you know, say I give up on this guy, or just scream at me for not having such a thick head about it. He is so, I mean, He's a gradualist, you know, He is patient with it, and He knows it's moving in the right direction. And man, He's a lot more patient with me than I am with others.
I'd love to know from either of you or both of you, what's been like a decision where you've like, I've really had to seek the Lord with this. You may not frame it in the sense of I'm seeking His will, but like, you've been at an intersection. You're trying to figure out which way do I go. God, I need some direction here. Do you have any like what happened? Like, share the story.
We got a bunch, right? You got a bunch. I got to go.
Yeah, one for me was there's tons, right? But relationships, and do I go left? Do I go right? You know, do I say yes to the dress? Do I not? And or you know, do I propose? Do I not? And Paige was pretty straightforward. It was just like boom, boom, boom. But I had relationships before that didn't go as smoothly. And so there's a lot there. And one thing that I want to say to our audience and to myself, I could say it to a younger myself, would be those decisions weren't wasted. They weren't a waste, you know, that God used all of those decisions and places to glorify Himself. But I think that, you know, you date this person, you're wondering whether or not you're going to marry them, and you're thinking, man, God, is this your will for my life, that it's going to look like this? Is this what it's going to look like? And ended up not being the person that I married, you know? Right. And was that like God's will that I break up with this person? You know, is that really what you wanted for me, God? This pain, this agony, this heartbreak, is that your will for my life? You know,
yeah, we almost see the pain is the opposite of God's will.
Yep.
And actually so many of the times pain can often be his will in the way he wants to glorify himself through it.
Yeah, it's the relationship's always is a real go-to. It's just so big for all of us. I just remember talking to a guy once who was just, you know, do I, don't I propose and still go through it. And I think I just said to him, I said, well, if you really want to know God's will, go ahead and marry her, because on the other side of that, you absolutely know it's God's will for you to stick it out and stay there.
Were you a pastor at that time?
Or? I was not a pastor at the time, but yeah, that was, but I, you know, and we laugh about that, but in some ways, you know, it may be, and honestly, I would never counsel someone like, I mean, I mean, this, in this case, this was, to me, such a solid relationship, such a, it had such potential. They both loved God. They both were great together. But yeah, there's that terror of doing it. The other thing I was thinking of was the decision to go to seminary. And there's just so many things that cascaded through that. I was working, Karen and I had only been married a little while. I was working at Kodak as an engineer. And when I started to share, I really think God is calling me to seminary, Karen said, I don't think he is. He certainly never called me to be a pastor's wife. You know, so that it was a 2-year process. You know, so that when we talk about being a team sport, you know, I did know it wasn't God's will for me to trump my wife.
Right.
That was not, you know, that was not God's will. So we talked, we prayed, and it was a period of over 2 years and of her getting, you know, to the same place. But yeah, and there it's, I mean, honestly, could I have glorified God continuing to work in that secular field? I don't know. I certainly still would have tried to please him, you know, in that. Now, we ended up on the same page.
But yeah, normally the Holy Spirit sounds like your wife. But never,
I had a
like,
friend who
never
called his wife Holy Spirit Junior.
Yeah. Oh. But somehow the voice of God never sounds like the husband.
Right.
Yeah.
I jest. But I would love to know, I mean, you mentioned about this dot. I know that you even just before we're talking about this dot, that we're trying to like pinpoint this dot. What's the kind of dark side of that?
Well, it's a, it's always, I mean, we
you may want to explain it for our listeners.
Yeah, let me explain that, which is like, let's say we can all agree that God has a moral will, right? And we can say, well, I know I'm not supposed to kill anybody or steal or what, you know, you can go through the great, you can go through the Ten Commandments, you can go through the great commandment, you know, to love God with all your heart and others, second commandment, love others as yourself. You can go through the Great Commission and say, okay, I'm not going to violate any of those things, but there's still all kinds of options inside that. So does God have a, you know, does he already have a plan for me? You know, and it's just like point A to B to C to D, and it's all
well. I think
all the way through.
We want to know that dot because then we want to decide whether or not that's the plan we want to take. You know, we want to know God's will so that we can decide whether or not it's what we want.
Yeah,
and like I want God to reveal Himself to me in these ways, and I can say, oh, I think that's a good plan, Lord. Like, let's, or I want him to bless my plan. You know,
do you, do you think part of it is actually relinquishing the consequences or the responsibility?
Oh, yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
Well,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
God
surrender.
Told me to do this.
Yeah.
Like, you're talking about dating, and it's like, yeah, God told me that we should break up. I, like, yeah. I think that's a bit of a stretch, but.
Right.
yeah. Do you think part of it is just kind of relinquishing control of.
I think it.
Or owning our
can
responsibility?
Be. Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's just. It's certainly easier if someone, you know, if I got a daily email telling me.
If you had a dot, had that'd be do, the easiest
or,
way.
Or I got my resume, you know, in high school that was, you know, from the end of my life. You know, it's like, oh, okay, that's the there's the plan. I'll follow it. You know, in some ways. It means, I mean, I think it's passing up some freedom God wants us to enjoy, right? Galatians 5:1 says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free, no longer to be bound to sin and slavery, right? And there's, and I think there's a, you know, God, I have joy as a parent in seeing my kids make their own decisions, right? As long as they don't violate my values, you know, it's just wonderful to see they have, you know, where they go and what they do, because there are so many ways to glorify God. There are so many options when it comes to fulfilling, you know, his will. And that might take more research, more time, more, and more responsibility. You know, like, I went down this path. That was a boneheaded move. Can't blame God for that. Let's see what we can do now.
I'd love your thoughts on seeking the Holy Spirit. Like, there is a point where we are to seek God. The Holy Spirit is described as the helper. How does the Holy Spirit, comes a point, I feel like we're in a bit of polars right now. We're saying we shouldn't just try and strive for this sole singular dot in the midst of his sovereign will, his moral will, and this is my will, this is the single dot. Yet, we are to seek God. We are to ask. Like, how do we balance that tension? And how does the Holy Spirit, counsel, like, play into that?
Right, and we do believe, I think there are times when God steps in and calls, you know, and moves, you know, addresses. It's just not, I don't think he's calling me to a particular breakfast cereal, but he's, but you know, there are times when he steps in, but it's a really good question on how we listen to the Holy Spirit. Because there are things in my life where I have believed they are, you know, the nudging of the Holy Spirit, but I almost want to wait till heaven to see if that was the case or not. In some cases, God's like, well, that was really your idea. It wasn't a bad idea, and I blessed it, but that wasn't me. But
in counseling with people, I've talked about a lot, you know, people say, was that the Holy Spirit? You know, they wonder. They're asking God for an answer. They don't know if he's speaking to them. And I've gone back to the passage you used, you know, love, it's patient, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. You know, the fruits of the Spirit will be evident in that path. You know, you can, you know what love smells like. You can, you know what, when your friend wants the best for you and comes to you with advice and gives it in love, you know what, how that feels different than when someone brings it with dissension or with their selfish ambition or vain conceit as the motive for that. And I think, like, you'll identify the Holy Spirit by the fruits of the Spirit that are, you know, so if someone's saying something to you that is loving, then that might be the Holy Spirit. If they're saying something that is hateful, that's not going to be the Holy Spirit. That's not going to be what he's telling you or speaking into your life.
Or irritable or frustrated, right? Yeah. It's just, there are ways to, the flip side of it, grieving the Holy Spirit, right? And there's so many right things we can do or with the wrong reason, you know, or in the wrong way.
So when I talk to people about listening, you know, to the Holy Spirit and hearing him, you know, look at it through the lens of, is it loving? Is it kind? Is it gentle? Would this decision be patient? Would it be long-suffering? Would it be kind? Would it be, you know, the decision that the Holy Spirit would make, you know, in my life? And would it be in alignment with his values? Because a lot of times people can get, like, this emotional version of the Holy Spirit where it's this, like,
well, I feel it, and therefore it is the Holy Spirit.
Right.
We equate emotion with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Which and sometimes true. Sometimes people will feel the will claim to feel the Holy Spirit for something that's clearly wrong.
Right.
Too. I mean, it's just...
That's another podcast.
Right.
It is another, we need to have.
It is another podcast, but it just shows the danger of trusting, you know, feelings, you know, and emotions.
But I have been nudged by the Holy Spirit to go talk to that person or to bring up a certain topic and, you know, to pray for them in a certain way. And that has been a breakthrough moments in my life when I've listened well. And where I get in trouble is I'm just a brute and I don't listen, you know, that's where I get in trouble when I'm, when I'm no longer listening to the Holy Spirit or for him and just living my own, I wake up in the morning. That is not the first thing that I go to is, oh, let me listen for what God's direction is in what, you know, in today, you know, I just need to sit there and do that more because that's where I miss it. Not where, you know, discerning whether or not, you know, okay, yeah, I have good grips on that, but am I just doing it? Am I, like, walking by the Spirit, you know, today?
The picture I've got right now is, like, trying to teach my son to walk on, like, you know, the balance beam. And, like, you obviously need to put your arms out for balance, and it's, like, reaching out, trying to listen to Holy Spirit. Am I off? Am I not? There's different counsel that I can have. But to, instead of keeping it, this would be the dot, is like your dot is like right in front of your feet.
Yeah.
And you know how you're never taught to, like, just look down out. Your feet. You're supposed to keep your head up and look forward.
The goal.
And look, and it's in keeping our head up. And I don't know if you eventually shared this in the message, but, like, the Westminster Confession of Faith.
I did.
I love that. I remember my dad he grew up Church of Scotland, Presbyterian kind of a thing, and he would always say, the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Yeah. And it's enjoy the ride and keep your head up, glorify him in walking with him, and enjoy potentially falling off and breaking your arm. But like, he'll pick you back up, you know what I'm saying? But we're almost out of time, but I'd love to know, give us, as we are on the balance beam, tell us what's ahead. What is along the journey for, I think we're wrapping up the series pretty soon here.
Well, this is the end of the series. This was the last week of the series. So
what's coming up?
We are coming, we're going to do the Book of Ruth. And I'm not going to say which week, but Noah over here will preach one of them.
I'm excited about it, actually.
Keep coming. And I'm also excited about the podcast. I think we'll have some really good guests on the podcast, too.
Whenever we talk about Ruth, I always think, my lame idea for a series title was The Ruth is on Fire.
It is lame.
I don't know, but that's what I keep thinking, the Ruth is on fire. So maybe you want to come back next time to see if the Ruth is on fire.
I don't think that's the title of the series.
Or not.
That is not the title of the series.
Well, thank you so much for being here. It is such an honor to be able to share this time with these fine gentlemen, and hopefully this has been a help to you as you strive to become a little better. See you next week for Ruth. Catch you later.